Welcome back to the library. It's the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert, flying the plane solo, or the library solo today, as we're recording a special interview as we look forward to our tour of Turkey in October. We'll tell you more about that over the course of the program. You can find out more online right now at skywatchinturkey.com. But joining us is a gentleman who is going to be coordinating the tour for us, or at least his staff will be. He is an author, an educator, an explorer, and the founder of Ezra Adventures. His book, highly recommended, Israel Rising. You can find him online, doughershey.co. And we are honored to welcome to the program for the first time, Doug Hershey. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
This is really exciting. Sharon and I have kind of had a wish to go and visit the churches of Revelation, but also some of the archaeological sites in Turkey that are maybe not as well known as the sites that have been excavated over the last century and a half in places like Egypt or ancient Sumer, or certainly Israel, of course. But some of these sites that we've got lined up on this tour in October are absolutely mind-blowing. What are you most looking forward to seeing on the tour in October?
You know, a lot of times when people go to Turkey, they primarily focus on the western side of Turkey, which is where a lot of the seven churches are. And in the middle of the country is a place called Cappadocia, which is, again, just a gorgeous place. And there were Jews from Cappadocia at Acts 2. And, you know, there's some just beautiful locations. But Turkey is a really sizable country, and even most Turkish nationals don't travel. Like, they'll go to Cappadocia for, you know, vacation, but going further east to places like Haran and to some of these profoundly biblical places where, you know, biblical Antioch is at, most Turks really don't go out that far. And it's almost like, you know, as far as like north and south of the eastern United States, you have sort of the northern culture and then the southern culture. It's kind of that way with Turkey as far as east and west. If you're east of Cappadocia on the eastern side, it's just a different culture. There's the baklava and the pistachios are just unreal out in that part of the world. But most Western trips will stay on the Western side, which is where, again, a lot of these, like the churches of Revelation are. And I'm most excited about going east because not only is it wildly unusual for Western groups to go out that way, it's completely safe, no problem with that. But it's really a whole different world, and we get into really a whole different level of biblical understanding, of unique biblical sites and things that really kind of help tie the Bible together.
We'll see the essentially Abraham's hometown of Haran and the beehive houses of Haran. But nearby is the town of Sanliurfa, which got a very long tradition of being the Ur Kasdim of the Bible, Ur of the Chaldees.
Yeah, there's I've also, again, spent some time there. There's a traditional site referring to Abraham's cave that's there as well. Again, it's sort of it's probably not the location, but it's something that's significant to check out. Some of the most dramatic, mind-blowing mosaics that you've probably ever seen anywhere are in eastern Turkey. I mean, there are museums that are out that way that some of them will be going to that are just look like they could have been done with, like, you know, like a computer program rather than, you know, some guy with like little stones and, you know, putting them in the floor. Just almost like 3D images, just amazing. Some of the most stunning mosaics I've ever seen anywhere. And so we'll be looking at some of those cultural aspects from, you know, early first, second, third century that were really, you know, tied in, you know, around that time.
Sanliurfa has an archaeological museum, and they've got a number of artifacts there that have been pulled from a couple of sites that are much, much older that are in that area, including Göbekli Tepe, which archaeologists have called the world's oldest religious center. But another site nearby called Karahan Tepe that is supposed to be even older. What is the significance, the Neolithic era? Now we're getting back to 9,000 BC and older.
Yeah, some of those sites. I mean, one of the most stunning things is that, you know, we're looking at sites where Göbekli Tepe, is I think, you know, they're dating like 10 to 12,000 years old, and the amazing thing is that, like, I've been to that site, and they basically tell you, like, we have no idea what this is. but it's here, and some, you know, some farmer found it in a field, and now they've dug it out. But there's images of different animals, and there's how it's different set up. I mean, there's sort of guesses of what it could be, but certainly most are agreeing that some type of temple, some type of paganistic ritual experiences that were, you know, were happening there. But what happened there and what has been happening there, aside from the archaeology today, you know, they're still figuring that out. It's still an ongoing dig. So the same way that I enjoy going to different sites in Israel, like Caesarea Maritime, where there's just a constant ongoing archaeological dig, I'm looking forward to going back to some of these sites to find out, you know, what have they found in the last, you know, in the last year since I've been there. And so, again, just some mind-blowing locations there that are just, you know, hard to wrap your head around until you're actually standing there.
Well, the thing that's really interesting about that site, and I'll have to ask you for help again, how to pronounce the name?
Oh, man. You know, I've got so much sort of Hebrew thought in my mind. I would say Göbekli Tepe, but I'm not.
Okay.
I think that's probably wrong. My Turkish friends are rolling their eyes right now.
We've got a few months to practice. But right. According to a couple of friends of ours who are working on a book on that site, it was what's really significant is that it was developed not as a settlement for agriculture or anything particular. It was designed from the ground up as a religious center, which is what makes it significant. And so we're talking about something that perhaps predates the flood, but certainly has some spiritual significance to it. And so we will be talking about that on the tour.
One of the things, again, that makes those things really special is that whether you call it speculation or wonder or whatever, I mean, exactly what you said, when you're looking at things that potentially predate the flood and God was saying, like, he, you know, flattened everything because of the evil that was there, like, clearly something broke his heart. And here's potentially one of these sites that, whether, you know, this was one of the places or whatever, I mean, the people were doing something. And part of the excitement about being there is just sort of the wonder, like, what was it about this particular place
right.
that just broke the heart of God, where he said, I wish that I had never made man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just that whole process and kind of speculating. It's sort of of that unknown it's definitely one of those places
yeah.
that no one has figured out.
And even more mysterious, the fact that it was ritually buried and abandoned. And, you know, what
yes.
was it that caused the people to bury it before they left? And that is, again, one of those greatest mysteries of all history.
Indeed.
Another site that's really curious and really mysterious is Çatalhöyük, where all of the houses are built so that you have to access them through the roof. And this is another site that we've managed to get onto the tour. What are the theories about this particular location and why these houses were built so you had to climb to the roof to get inside?
You know, that's actually, it's funny you bring that up. That's one of the sites that I haven't been to. So that one's new for me that you guys added onto the group, and some of my admin people who are well versed in Turkey, they were like, nobody goes here. This is going to be amazing. They were getting excited about it.
Wow.
I've been reading about it and just kind of getting caught up on it as well. So I can't wait to be there myself.
The sites we talked about in our program for Unraveling Revelation, the city of Ephesus and its significance both historically and prophetically. It's the first church of the seven that Jesus dictated a letter to John the Revelator. Of course, Paul spent some time there, wrote a very famous letter, a letter that really is all about spiritual warfare when you read it all together in context. What moves you or what strikes you when you're at Ephesus?
One of the things that has just gripped me probably the first time I was there is just the size. It's just the overwhelming size, and of all of the things that was going on, the amount of people that were living there. You know, we talked about Ephesus being sort of a spiritual Disneyland of sorts, the amount of temples that were there, that nearby was a local healing center. So people were coming to Ephesus and coming to the temples, which then turned into sort of hospitals where if the local medical schools that were being formed couldn't help you, they would send you to the temples, that maybe the gods would have mercy on you. And so a lot of these places, again, when we're talking about tying into some of the miracles and some of the things that happened in the book of Acts, when people are getting healed in Ephesus, it's directly an affront, really, to some of the gods that were there. And so it's a site where at the time that there was more sorcery, and so many of the believers that came out of that world, we're burning sorcery books and we're, you know, breaking spells and that type of thing. So all of these things that sort of that whole what we know about spiritual warfare and how we go to Ephesus or to Ephesians for that is directly related to that culture. And so, again, it's for me, I guess there isn't a particular place in Ephesus, just the overall size. And so when Jesus is saying to his apostles, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. When you get to those cities and you stand around and understand an aspect of that culture, you can go, okay, well, I could see how some smelly Galilean fishermen might step into a culture like that and feel completely overwhelmed. And just being completely like, I'm sending you, you know, just in a completely different culture that the only thing you have to depend on will be me. And that was really how, you know, by the demonstration of power and by miracles is how the early church grew. And so you can see some of that context. So for me, whether it's Ephesus or Pergamum or some of these other, you know, early New Testament sites, that's what's most striking to me is just the overall size and how ritualistic and paganistic it was, and yet that was the location that the Lord chose to really bring life to really not only those locations, but still us today.
Speaking of large and paganistic, Mount Nimrod, which was a site, if I remember correctly, 2nd century BC, I think, maybe a little
That's
earlier
correct.
Than that, a king, and this is in Cappadocia, am I right?
No, that's actually out further out east, so okay. Not far from, I want to say out more towards Tehran, so eastern Turkey.
Okay. A mountain site where a king decreed that when he passed, he would be buried under this cairn, this just giant pyramidal cairn, so that you will never, ever get to his body, because as you dig in, the rock that's piled on top will cave in. But these giant heads, these giant idols representing the gods that he worshipped, and apparently he was trying to syncretize Greek religion with the Persian religion at the time. But these stone idols on Mount Nimrod have been preserved for a couple thousand years and are just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, that place is stunning. And what's shocking about it is that it's up on a mountain and there's nothing around. Like when we drive to that location, probably what will be the most shocking is just the journey getting there, because there is no civilization around. It's in the middle of nowhere. And so you can imagine, you know, 2nd century BC, the amount of slaves that are carrying rocks up to, you know, up on top to, you know, to make this tumulus, and some of the heads that are on the ground now used to be up on larger statues. It is just, it's probably one of the most stunning, one of the most stunning places in Turkey for me, as far as like off the beaten path. And of course, you know, when we're there and we're talking about, you know, exactly some of what you just talked about of what he was trying to do and what the goals were, he even was trying to set up, you know, an annual celebration, paganistic feast that were supposed to happen at that location that would blend a bunch of, you know, things together. And it was, you know, there were curses connected to it that if you didn't do it, curses. I mean, it's a site that is truly, truly unique. And so I'm looking forward just to, you know, getting some groups up there, because I guarantee it's like stuff that you've never seen before.
It's the kingdom of Commagene, I remember now.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Commagene. I got it confused with Cappadocia. Well, speaking of stunning, the book Israel Rising is a stunning collection of photographs that illustrate the miracle of Israel. We'll tell you how to get that, and we will talk about the underground city of Derinkuyu when the Bible's Greatest Mysteries continues after this.
Bible's Greatest Mysteries is part of SkyWatch TV. Every show is available on demand at the SkyWatch TV app for Roku, Apple TV, and our free mobile app. Follow us online at skywatchtv.com.
Welcome back to the Bible's Greatest Mysteries. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us is author, speaker, educator Doug Hershey. He is the author of the best-selling book Israel Rising, released in 2019. We had the pleasure of hosting Doug at Skywatch TV back then when he was on tour for the book and discussed it then. And as we realized we were putting this tour together, I had our crack staff at the Skywatch TV store, Penny Dutton and her team, looked and found we still have some copies of the book there, which is good because as of this recording, if you go to the big online bookseller, they're down to one copy. Now, I'm sure they'll get more, but we can offer you a very special package, Israel Rising. Doug, again, how would you describe this, the before and after photos showing Israel then and then Israel now?
Yeah, so Israel Rising is sort of a coffee table style book, 208 pages. There's over 25 locations all through Israel where we've taken old photos from the 1800s, early 1900s, and gone back to those exact locations to reshoot the angle to show how much the land has revived under Israeli sovereignty. And so Israel Rising isn't just simply a then and now photo book as much as it is about documenting biblical prophecy. So Ezekiel 36 talks about when the Jewish people are out of the land will be forgotten and it'll be a wasteland and not really claimed by anyone. It'll be a mockery of the nations. When the Jewish people return, the branches will put forth fruit. The land will be cultivated and sown. Waste and forgotten cities will be rebuilt. And so all of the photography really was done with the intention of showing this land is being revived in a way that has never happened before since the time of Ezekiel spoke about it. And so that's some of what it is. We talk about it as a visual documentation that God is fulfilling his word.
That's I love the slug line on the cover. Ancient Prophecy, Modern Lens, Israel Rising by Doug Hershey. It can be yours for your gift of $35 and plus shipping and handling. But when you get that, we will also include the Terry James book, Cauldron, Supernatural Implications of the Current Middle East. Terry James, prophecy expert, longtime publisher of RaptureReady.com. And we'll add the 7-hour audio CD, 7 hours of interviews I've conducted over the years with Dr. Michael Heiser, recognized, renowned Bible scholar. You'll get all of that for your gift of $35 plus shipping and handling. Get more. You can find out more and order your copy now at SkywatchTVStore.com, SkywatchTVStore.com, or by calling us at 844-750-4985. That's a toll-free call, 844-750-4985. Doug, one of the more fascinating sights on the tour of Turkey in October is the underground city of Derinkuyu. We knew about some of these underground cities, but you put this one on the tour and said it's got some special significance.
Yeah, we had actually had there's several really fascinating underground cities that are around the Cappadocia area in central Turkey, and I actually wanted to plug this one in instead because there's two aspects of this underground city that is truly unique that I've never seen anywhere else in Turkey, really anywhere else in the world. And two things. One, that it has an early church dating back to the second century that is built in the shape of a cross. And so while we know about that, even from the Byzantine era, we know about that they would build, you know, these early churches in the shape of a cross. Of course, none of them are standing. But this one, because it's an underground city, you can actually be in a place inside, sort of inside the building, which is probably 70, 80 feet below the surface, in a location where first and second century believers were praying. And it was built specifically for that reason. Now, what's also amazing is in that same city, the first time I was there, our Turkish guide took us over and took us into this other room. And as we came in there, she described this thing over here to the left as a fountain or maybe a baptismal pool. And as we entered the room, at the front of the room, there were seven steps that went up to a little platform, and she was describing it to us as a missionary school, probably from like the first or second century. And I, of course, having my history in Israel and Jewish foundations of the New Covenant, I was explaining to her and saying, like, this is not a missionary school. This is a synagogue. Like, this right here, this is a mikveh. Here are the seven steps that go down. This is how the water would come in. There are seven steps up to the bima at the front where the rabbi or the teacher, would teach. And so I began actually, in a very kind sort of way, explaining to our very well-educated Turkish guide that you know, this wasn't about like Christian missionaries. This is about Jewish people having a Knesset, having a synagogue, having a place to meet. And so to me, what's really special about that is that in the book of Acts, in Acts 2, one of the locations that was present at Shavuot or Pentecost were Jews coming from Cappadocia, which is where this area is at. And so then beyond that, you know, there are some of the 3,000 that say, you know, brothers, what should we do? They, of course, then go home. Peter clearly keeps some type of relationship or communication with him, because Peter's first letter is written to the Jews in Cappadocia. And so as he's writing his letters, maybe the second or third, again, maybe, you know, this is sort of speculation, but here you have an underground synagogue and a church dating back to probably the second century, and Peter writing his letters to Jews in Cappadocia. Was this one of the places that maybe his letters were written? Was that the place or not? Who knows? But the chances are that the believers who were there, local believers, certainly probably knew about his writings, whether it was from 100 years before or whatever. So, again, there's some really profound biblical treasures that directly connect into the book of Acts, into the things that Peter was explaining and teaching about. And so this is one of the sites for me that was really special. You can pray inside a second century church where early believers did, and we'll spend a little bit of time, again, praying, maybe even reading some of these portions of 1 Peter, potentially in a synagogue from that same era, where potentially some of these original letters were written. Again, we can't say for sure, but you know, there's some probable aspects to it. It's exciting to be there.
Yeah, we saw this featured on a BBC documentary not long ago, and Sharon and I both got very excited. It's like, we're going there. We're going there.
It is pretty special. And groups that I've taken before, they've told me just to be in a place where you can pray inside a place where you know the believers less than 100 years separated from, you know, from some of the apostles or some of the disciples of some of the apostles, again, sort of, you know, kind of dating back, hearing some of the stories, hearing the personal accounts of what the apostles' life was like with the master. I mean, some of those stories and some of those conversations could have been in some of these locations. And so to be able to spend some time praying there, knowing that, you know, early church brethren of, you know, 1900 years ago, we're doing the same thing. It's really moving. It's really special. And so it's one of the spots I'm looking forward to taking our group.
Absolutely. I've seen some video taken from inside other than the BBC documentary, and we'll be featuring some of that, you know, over the course of this conversation. But it's absolutely stunning to think that that much work was put into the city, which, as I understand it, could hold between 20 and 30,000 people, depending on who's doing the estimation.
These are not just two random buildings down in the, you know, underground somewhere. Exactly what you said. It's a maze of caves that held places for livestock, that held, you know, granaries, that held places for wineries, that wine was being made there. I mean, it was a complete underground city. And clearly not all of it is completely excavated. But, I mean, there are just places where, I mean, there's just levels of this city that are just, like, it at some point, like, you don't even know how deep you are underground. Mm-hmm. And just to think about the type of workmanship that it took to get all of these out, and, you know, our guides are talking about, you know, over here was, you know, was potentially a kitchen, and this is where one of the families would stay. I mean, it's really amazing, and even more so of, like, why some of those cities were even made, and why, you know, to protect themselves from, you know, invading armies, whether it was the Romans or others throughout history. Just stunning. Again, it's something I haven't seen anywhere else in the world.
That's the thing that really struck me, because when you've got that many people who are hiding underground, it's not because they prefer living out of the sun. It's because
that's right.
They have a desperate need to get away from something on the surface that is threatening them. And when you think about that and then think about the significance of the religious use, the rooms designed specifically for worship inside that refuge, and think, okay, what would motivate you to dig that in a world that's lit only by torchlight and live your entire existence down there? That is going to be something I'll remember for a very long time.
And again, it's for me, one of the special aspects is, you know, when you go to Israel, of course, you get on a boat on the Sea of Galilee and you read through the Gospels and you read where some of these locations happened. Turkey is very much like that through the New Covenant. You know, so whether Paul's first and second, third missionary journeys, most of that goes through the nation of Turkey. And so we'll be going to some of those locations. So, you know, I like to describe, you know, if you've been to Israel and you've seen, you know, where the Lord has walked and you see, you know, the history of Israel, then take the next step. This was never intended to be a Jewish thing. This was something it's one of the first places where the Great Commission was, they were commissioned out to. It was going into Asia Minor, which was a lot of Turkey. And so you can see like how that grew from these Jewish boys wandering out into Asia Minor to what it's become today in that journey. And again, to be able to tie all those pieces together, you know, in the book of Acts and much of those letters are directly connected to a lot of the places that we'll be at, whether it's the underground city or the seven churches in Revelation. There's just some really profound lessons to be learned, just really special to connect with first and second century believers, for sure.
Amen. Amen. If you're interested, don't wait, because we're trying to keep this to a relatively manageable size. We're hoping 24 in that vicinity, but the interest early on has been very strong. You can find out more online, skywatchinturkey.com, skywatchinturkey.com, or point the camera on your smartphone or tablet at the QR code on your screen. Doug, with just about a minute and a half to go, for people not familiar with Turkey, what is travel like in Turkey for Westerners?
You know, I describe it the same way I do with Israel. If you want to go to Israel, stop watching the news, because in Israel, it's much safer than what you see on TV. The Turkish government is doing some silly things that are raising concerns. But every Turkish community that I've been in, and you know, a couple times now, I've got good friends, you know, in different parts of the country. Completely warm, completely hospitable. I've never had an issue with safety or even a concern of it. I've got friends that have lived there for 15, 20 years that are Westerners living in Turkey that have been completely safe. And more so, the Turkish government is starting to spend more and more money on renovating and excavating a lot of these biblical sites with the intention of welcoming Western tourists, Westerners coming to find some of the foundational locations found in the scriptures. And so it's been nothing but warm. The Turkish coffee is amazing. The baklava is like you've never tasted before. And so I can't wait to get back. I'm looking. This is a trip for me that I'm looking forward to being on, just of how unique it is and how exciting that some of these locations are going to be.
So join Sharon and me and author Doug Hershey in Turkey this fall. Skywatchinturkey.com. Doug, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in Istanbul.
Sounds great. I look forward to seeing you.
Find out more online, skywatchinturkey.com, Doug's website, doughershey.co. And thank you for watching. This is The Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV.